children's book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Do you remember this? I got a picture of it there, I think. Yeah, there we go, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. You know, in this story, the caterpillar had a hunger that could never be satisfied. He was always hungry. He was always eating. But then one day, everything changed. He no longer crawled on the ground, nor did he feel that intense hunger. Instead, he was fulfilled now, and he had wings to fly. And then the author reveals that he was never created to remain a caterpillar. He was designed to be a very beautiful butterfly. In a way, you know, I can relate to this, the caterpillar, and maybe you can too. You know, like the caterpillar, we were never designed to remain hungry, to remain unfulfilled in our lives. Instead, we're designed to live in a relationship with God through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. We were designed to live set apart from the ways of the sinful world, set aside actually to become something greater. Being set apart means that we have been chosen for a special job. God calls us to be different from others and actually follow His ways. And there's some words for that in the Bible. It's called holiness. It's called sanctification. And we're going to dive into 1 Corinthians 6 for this morning to talk about this, because in this passage, the Apostle Paul was trying to help us understand the process of what it means to be set apart from the rest of the world, what it means to be sanctified. Now, would you agree that God is holy? Do you agree that God is separate and unique from His creation? But did you know that God isn't the only one who is holy? As his children, we too are to be holy. We're to be set apart from the world around us. To be holy is to be sanctified, and the Christian life really is a growing sanctification. And here's our passage in 1 Corinthians 6. It says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And so something unique happens in our lives when we make that decision to follow Jesus, when we come to faith in Christ. That something special is that God makes us new. And Paul uses three words in this passage to describe that newness, that God's work in us. He uses the word washed. We are washed clean of our sin through faith in Christ. 1 John chapter 1:7 tells us the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we are washed. He also says that we are sanctified, that we are set apart by God and declared holy. Hebrews 10 tells us, "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Okay, so it's just a one-time thing that happens in our lives. Also, we're justified. We're considered righteous in the sight of God, where the righteousness of Christ is attributed to us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made the one who did not know sin," speaking of Jesus, "to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." So there you have it. You're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. And all of that happens, the moment of salvation, the moment that we believe and trust in Christ, the one who lived a perfect life, who died a sinner's death to take away our sin and rose again to give us new life. And so justification is a one-time event in our lives, which we just talked about, but sanctification is a daily process. You know, our sanctification begins at the moment that we are justified, but it continues throughout our whole life as we grow more and more like Jesus. We are justified for our sins one time when Christ died for us. We are set apart daily, and we strive to draw closer and closer and closer to God. Now, the beauty in being sanctified and set apart in Christ is that we're no longer enslaved to sin as we once were. Paul, in our passage, listed many sins that are and can be so prominent in our lives. But in verse 11, he says this. He says, "And that is what some of you were." There's your old life. There's the sin. That's what you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And it was just a humble reminder that the people that Paul were talking to, the Christians of the day, were justified, not by their actions, but actually because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And so have we. So have we. And Paul was telling them, and he's telling us, that our lives should no longer look like their old way of living. And that goes for us too. Our lives should look markedly different from when we came to Jesus by faith. We are sanctified. We have been set apart from the old way of life. And whatever sin you may be involved in as a Christian, you are now above that. You are separated from that because of what Jesus did for you. You know, we will only find death in sin, but we find life in Christ. Because when we come to Christ, that changes everything. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 14, "I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both of them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." Excuse me. So what Paul is doing here is he's reminding the Corinthians, this young church, that they were and have been they're sanctified in Christ. And so he encouraged them to not engage in their old life because, you know, some of their old sins were exactly what they were chasing. You know, they'd been set apart, they'd been sanctified, they believed in the message of the gospel, and yet they were living in such a way that it was reflective of their old life. We are set free in Christ. But what was happening in this church is that the Corinthian church, like we often do, is we misinterpret the freedom that we have in Jesus. And so Paul, he quotes one of their slogans, and he quotes it actually twice. He says, "I have the right to do anything." That's what he says. He quotes it twice. "I have the right to do anything." But notice that both times he quotes it, he gives us a truth that went against the slogan. He first says, even though I have the right to do anything, he says, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is beneficial. And then the second time he says, "I will not be mastered by anything." The truth is that Christ sets us free from slavery to sin. And so hear me on this, okay? We are free not to sin. We are free not to sin. But some in the Corinthian church wrongly took that freedom to mean that they were free to sin. And so here's what's happening. Some in the Corinthian church, they were actually abusing the gift of sex and were engaging in sexual immorality. And so Paul says, you say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. See, eating food is a natural part of our life, something to be enjoyed. And they were viewing sexual pleasure in the same way. They believed that both food and sex were simply intended for their physical bodies, and because of that, it had no bearing on their spiritual lives. And this belief that what we do physically will have no bearing on our spiritual lives, it actually comes from a heresy that we call Gnosticism. Gnosticism was super popular in the first century, and it tried to influence Christians' thinking and theology. And one aspect of this heresy was the idea that the only thing that mattered in life was spiritual. The physical matter, it wasn't that important. And that meant, because of that, it meant that a person could do anything they wanted physically and it could have no impact on their spiritual life. And so Paul makes it clear in verse 13, the body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Because the reality is, we cannot separate body and spirit. Our physical bodies belong just as much to Christ as our spirits do. In verse 15, he goes on, he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So let me try to explain this. Believers, followers of Jesus, are one with Christ. And marriage is actually a picture of the oneness that we share with Christ as his church. When we become believers, we are joined with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? And so that means that the actions of our body affect our whole being. The truth in itself underscores just how set apart we are from the world. We're not one with the world. We don't think the same way the world thinks. We are actually one with Christ. And since his Holy Spirit lives in us, our actions should reflect that. We should be different. In that frame of mind, Paul says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. God is glorified when we pursue the things of God and we live sanctified lives. In fact, let's take that sanctification just a little bit further. Peter, in 1 Peter 2:9, he says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That word that we talked about this morning, wonder, and that word to share that with others, that's really what this is talking about. Because God has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. He called us out of our sin to belong to him, to be his own people. He set us apart, and we are not our own. And that means that all of our choices should bring glory to God. We should be willing and joyful joyfully proclaim his honor and glory. Fleeing from our sin, whatever that sin is, and faithful pursuing righteousness may seem like it's a challenge, but it's not impossible. Because we never face temptation alone. Because we trust and we belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit is always right there with us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? You are not your own." And so Paul is telling us that the things that we do physically, they actually matter. They really matter. And so in verse 18, he actually offers us a course correction. In this case, in this passage, the sin was sexual immorality, but you could add whatever sin that would be in this. For you, it might be something else. Here is the escape. Paul says, flee. Flee. Flee from whatever sin has bound you. Whatever has you wrapped and entrapped in slavery. Flee means actually to run away. Not just walk away from a situation. Not to just give it a couple more weeks and or months. You'll just naturally get over it. He says to flee the situation. Don't take time to think about getting away. Just get away as far as possible and do it immediately. That's what he's talking about here. We can't flee aimlessly from sin, but we must run straight to Jesus. Paul told Timothy, his young protege, he says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." The call is for us to pursue the sanctified life, the set-apart life. That's what we are called to do. And ultimately, it is because you are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. You know, when it comes to taking care of things, we value and take better care of things when, you know, we pay a lot of money for them. We, by nature, will give a lot of thought to what we purchase. And when it's, when something we buy is very, very expensive, as most will spend weeks and even months selecting a home, you know, you want to get the right home to buy. But on the other hand, we buy snacks from convenience stores without much thought. You know, on an infinitely greater scale, God chose to purchase you and me, and it cost him a lot. It cost him the death of a son. And God is trying to get us to remember that price. The price that he paid to redeem us to himself. So wouldn't it be wise to take special care of what belongs to God, including our whole spirit, our whole soul, our whole body? We belong to him. Shouldn't we take care of that? And that taking care of is, it best happens with the word submission. In submitting to Christ, we submit both in body and spirit. And when we do that, we're set apart. We're working on our sanctification in Christ, and our bodies are no longer to be used as vessels for sin. Instead, our bodies are to be used as vessels to glorify Christ. And so when we submit to Christ on a daily basis and let his Holy Spirit fill us, we're well on the road to sanctification. A sanctified life lived for Christ can do nothing but glorify him. And so I want to close this morning with a challenge. And I challenge you, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, he said this: "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for this challenge. I'm thankful that it is a choice that we have. That because of the work of Jesus on the cross, because you have changed us for all eternity, that, Father, we have the power, we have and the choice to flee from our sin. Father, I have no doubt that even in our room here this morning, there are those that are just embroiled in sin and they feel trapped and they're not sure how to get out of it. They do not feel any release. Father, may your Spirit guide them. May your Spirit lead them out of that trap. Help them understand that they have been washed and cleansed and justified and sanctified, that they belong to you. They do not belong to the enemy, and give them victory over that today. Thank you, Father, for the rich blessing it is to be called your child. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we close our service.